And I know Greg a couple of days ago was basically down and out with sunstroke. And so just pray for him and the group. But it looks like they're doing well, and from all reports they are. And so we're glad for that. But let's turn our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Brother Rod wanted me to pass on his thanks to the church for just their, for your support during this time. I mentioned, we haven't really been able to mention to the church, but I think most of you know, but his dad passed away on Sunday evening. And so we wanted to just, wanted me to pass on his thanks to the church for your faithful prayers for them. And please do continue. The funeral is going to be on Friday at 11 o'clock. And I think I've got the address, so if anyone's interested and would like to support that and just be a blessing to them, please come and see me and I'll give you those details. But pray for the family, and it's good to see Chloe here and Brock, and just continue to pray for them. We were certainly, during this time, just mourn with you, but also just rejoice with you as well, knowing that Max was one who called on the Lord. And we're thankful for heaven, and we're glad that we have that assurance. And so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and a couple of verses here. And let's start the reading in verse 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." And I wonder if you could relate to that. You know, the Apostle Paul was, in his observation, he understood some of the things at hand. There were difficulties from an external point of view as he's begun to just observe in his ministry life. And then he says, without were fightings, within were fears, and just that discomfort of what to do. And then in verse 6 he says, "Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." And if you know the context of the book of 2 Corinthians, it's in response, obviously, to that initial letter that he gave to the Corinthian church. We know from the first book of Corinthians that first letter that he wrote was an amazing church in many ways. It was a very gifted church. And yet there was carnality that had come in, and there was sin that was undealt with. And Paul wrote really a really heavy letter. It was in many ways a letter of correction, a letter of rebuke. And now toward the end of that letter, he had mentioned to them that he was looking to go visit them. And there was a little bit of a delay. And so he writes this second epistle, this second letter to explain a little bit of the delay, explain a little bit of what was happening in his life. And he writes this letter as well, really in a manner of defense. He was defending himself. The delay had caused other concerns the church had toward Paul. He was accused of not really being a genuine apostle. He was accused of demeaning himself by working. As we know, Paul received some support from the church, but he certainly had to do some tent making to be able to continue the work that he had. And so all of that, he was really responding to that. And in many ways, this was a response by Paul to some criticism that he was receiving from the church. But it's interesting as you study through this book that whilst he does deal with those situations, that he went a long way to actually write a letter that was very personal. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians, it's probably the most autobiographical book in all of Paul's writings. He wrote very personally to the church in Corinth. He wrote in a manner, really even in his own struggles, to comfort them. And there's that word comfort is right through this wonderful book of Scripture. In fact, it begins with that in chapter 1. So turn there with me. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he begins the greeting there in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And he'll go on in verse 8, he'll talk about here, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. And Paul was trying to help them understand that he had his own burdens. He was going through a real troublous time right now. And here he was having now to respond to some questions about his character. Questions about who he is and what he does. And you imagine, you know, sometimes when you're going through a situation in your life and some trouble in your life, you would all agree the last thing you would want is for there to be another angle of attack, right? And especially from brethren, especially from those that you already had taken a great deal to address the situation in their midst, so out of love, out of concern, out of really a hope that they would repent. And we'll go on and we'll see that they do repent and they do get right some things there. But now he's finding himself, and to me it's interesting that he approaches it not in a manner that probably all of us and many of us would then respond with retaliation. He responds with kindness. He responds by affirming to them his love for them again. And really what he had become a messenger of comfort as a response to a hardship in his life. You know, sometimes it's really difficult in the situations that we find ourselves in. It's difficult when we're going through trouble to then be a comfort to others. It's difficult when we're going through some hardship and we're going through perhaps some time where you can't even really fully comprehend what you're going through. He says in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And they were finding themselves to the point where they just simply couldn't comprehend what they were going through. They just needed to be delivered by God. They needed to rely on the Lord for all of the troubles that they were going through. And here he was reminding them about some of the messengers of comfort that God has. You know what comfort is? It's comfort is to soothe, to console, or to reassure. It's to bring cheer to. It's a biblical word for the action of encouragement. To give courage to someone, to give comfort. It's the words to speak, to give courage. And, you know, the other day we had some family friends come from Sydney. And, you know, one of the things I'm mindful about in our move here, even 4 years later, was just the attachments that my kids had. And, you know, for kids, we all know they can easily make friends. But there's always those attachments that perhaps They haven't fully closed off. And so our youngest, Jaden, he when we left, it was in the middle of COVID. And so he had just started to really make good connections with a few of the kids at church. And he was starting to come out of that, you know, just being a kid, being an infant to now being a kid. And so friendships mean the world to kids, don't we agree tonight? And so all of that, he didn't have closure about that. And so he had an opportunity to catch up with a couple of them. Obviously, they're a little bit 4 years older now, and they were sort of reminiscing from when they were little to now they're running around and just having a great time. But you know how it is when you have visitors. When you have visitors and they're close to you, then they leave, there's a bit of an empty feeling, isn't there? And that's exactly how Jaden felt. He started to sob, he started to cry, and he started to just talk about, you know, how much he was going to miss them. And you know, as a dad, you're looking at that, and what do you do? There's nothing you can do. They're leaving. I can't ask them to stay. I couldn't say, hey, Jaden, go with them, you know, all of that. I was trying to think of every solution. But the reality was, I couldn't do a thing about the trouble that he was feeling. But all I could do was come beside him and just comfort him. And you know, many times in life when we're going through trouble and then things come our way, really the only thing we desire from anywhere is comfort. And I think it's the right thing. I think it's the right thing to desire that. And God here in his word is really for us just reminding us about something. He's the God of all comfort. And God is the one who understands us most in our time of trouble. Notice again in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, sometimes when we go through our troubles, we find other means to comfort us. We look and you know, the typical, we look for comfort foods, right? You people who gain lots of weight when they're going through stress and they're going through discomfort. Why? They're trying to just balance out, trying to feel good about whatever they're going through. And we understand somewhat that there's that temptation perhaps, or there's other means that people will go to. But can I remind you tonight that actually the one who knows you best and the one who knows the trouble that you're going through most is also the one that can comfort you the best. You know, our walk with God isn't just an academic pursuit. It's not just something that we ought to do. No, there ought to be a great mindset of dependence and reliance, because we are people who are prone to trouble. We are people who are prone to, without even any warning, we go through some things even out of our control. And we've got to walk with God, because he's the God of all comfort. He's the God who comforts. He comforts in trouble. He comforts us so we can go through and endure and able to come through the situations that we find ourselves in. And even in regard to this, you know, sometimes we go through trouble that feels endless and feels like there's no solution to it. And you know, at the end of the day, the only way we get through it is by God's grace, mercy, but certainly through the comfort that we can seek from him. And it might be that we're going through something this week that we just have no solution for. It's difficult, and it's easy then to perhaps go through other means and look for other ways to try to retaliate, try to speak words. But so often what we need to do is just come back to the Lord and remember that he's the God of all comfort. And he says that in verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation. No, not just our troubles, our tribulation, greater trouble. And he says that we may be able, notice this, secondly, to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Here's a second messenger of comfort. It's not just God himself, but it's the person who is comforted. And I want to remind you that one of the great motivators, I think, for us to rely on the Lord to comfort us in our trouble is that we can then get through it, and then we could be a means, we could be a messenger of comfort because we've been comforted ourselves. Yeah, I know many times when I've had a situation and there are those in my life that, you know, in my estimation are my counselors, those who I look to as far as experience, as far as just walking down the road a little bit further in my different aspects of life. But certainly as a husband, as a father, but certainly as a pastor, I have those that are my counselors. But so often, I can relate to them and why they can relate to me is because they've gone through some things and they've come through it with some lessons learned. They've come through it with a great spirit, and they've come through it because they've received some comfort from the Lord. And I look at that as an example. I look at that as an opportunity. And here he's saying to them, you know, the reason why we're looking at the God of all comfort is because he's comforted us in our tribulation, but then so that we may be able to comfort them which are in their trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's a great motivation. And then he goes on, and we read initially, look at chapter 7 again. And now he's speaking about one that came to comfort him. Notice there, we read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And notice verse 5 again. He says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down." So again, he reiterates the God of comfort. But then he goes on, he says, "Comforted us by the coming of Titus." Now we know who Titus is. Titus was a fellow servant. Titus was a Gentile that got saved, and it was perhaps his duty to just travel with Apostle Paul to be that help and to be that blessing. But so often he was probably also Paul's translator as he went to different towns and cities. But we see Titus is now sent. Titus was sent by Paul to go and give a report, give a report to the Corinthian church. But now he's coming back, and he's saying he's comforted us. You've comforted us by the coming of Titus. And I wonder if you're the type of person that goes through trouble, and trouble hasn't made you bitter, trouble has made you better. You know, the reason we can do that, and the way we can do that is by receiving the comfort from God himself, but then recognizing that then we can be a comfort to another. By enduring and going through that circumstance and that trouble that we felt so endless, and now we're getting through it by the help and the grace and the mercy and the comfort of God. And he's saying, you've sent me Titus. And I wonder if you're the type of person that's come through something and now you can be sent to be a comforter. You know, that's another word, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The comforter. And God sends the Holy Spirit of God to comfort. But you understand that you could be like that too. Are you the type of person that can be sent to someone to be a comfort to another? Are you the type of a person that has gone through a situation and you've trusted God and you've relied on Him and you've found the comfort in Him, and now you can offer that same comfort that you received to another who perhaps is going through their own trouble? And I wonder if you're the type of person that in a situation that requires it, you're the name that pops in someone's head to be a comforter. You see, Titus was certainly that way, but notice as he continues in verse 7, "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." You know, he was not focusing on those critics that were in the church. It wasn't all of them. He was focusing on the ones that were wanting to be a comfort. You know, it wasn't just Titus. There was a church there that there was still a remnant of those that they were just faithful. They were just ones who trusted God. They were just ones who walked with God. They were just ones who he could report back with joy. And you know, I wonder if we're going to be the type of church where someone comes back after a few years of absence, a few years perhaps maybe missionaries that have come through, and then a couple of years later they they come back and they see the church and they still see you. They still see your work. They still see the grace of God in your life. They still see that perhaps as you've gone through your own troubles and you've gone through so your own trials, that you're still there and you still have joy. You still have a great heart for them. You still have a great heart for the work. You still have a great heart for God. And you know, our testimony and our faithfulness, that can be a messenger of comfort too. And so often, the way we encourage others and the way we were used of God can simply just be this: we're being comforted by the Lord too. And so tonight, as we have the time, you know, I very much see Wednesday night, it's a time where the church gets together to pray, but it's a time where the church can be a comfort one to another. You know, it's us coming together to bear burdens one for another. It's us coming together to say, God, we rely on God and we're going to pray and we're going to seek Him. We're not just going to be worried and concerned and discomforted. No, we're going to find our comfort in God. And so I want to encourage you tonight, we have the God of all comfort. But maybe you could this week be the one who just gives comfort because you've received the comfort wherewith you've been comforted. And perhaps as a church, we would just continue to just be faithful so that we can be a comfort to those who are looking within. All right. Thanks, Brother Jewel.